This is Martin Zender, and I'm with my famous and infamous at the same time companion, Dan Sheridan.
Holy and cow, it's been 2 years, my friend, 2 years.
Yeah, it has been 2 years, and by an act of God that we will probably someday soon explain to you, through great trial and profound and really despicable evil, we are back. In not in strength, but in weakness, we come to you in weakness of the flesh. We come to you through trial, and we come to you trusting that the grace of God will overshadow us. And I want to say it's good to be back, and it is. But part of me just is like, man, I have lost some of the confidence that I used to have in myself, and now my confidence is in Christ. And somehow I think this is a good thing.
Well, when you're weak, he's strong. You know how that works.
Yeah, when we're weak, he is powerful. Thank God for that. So
yeah.
Here we are.
Here we are. And we're talking politics, aren't we?
Yeah, and the difference is, we're going to talk politics, and we're not face-to-face this time. It was so much fun doing that show in Indianapolis when we were looking each other in the eye. But now we're miles apart on the telephone, but this is the way it has to be. It's this or nothing, and God put this in our hearts and in our lap. And, it's miraculous.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's too bad. I wish I can look at you across from the soundboard like I used to do, but God has given us the ability to be able to do this over the phone, so it's fantastic. I'm glad to be able to do it.
Well, we can get it. Technology is a wonderful thing.
Exactly. Exactly right.
We're going to talk about politics.
Yeah, well, it's a political season, and
that's for sure.
Yeah. And we've been talking about politics for a while, you and I personally. I know you've been thinking about writing a book about it, but, you know, we had the vice presidential debates on Thursday night, and it was comical watching it from my perspective. And I was reading a verse, Martin, I wanted to share with you in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17.
Okay.
And it says here, the supreme is an authority in the kingdom of mortals, and he gives it to whomsoever he will, and he sets up over it the lowly one of mortals. And in the same chapter, he says this, the supreme is an authority, this is verse 25, the supreme is an authority in the kingdom of mortals, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. And in the Greek scriptures, the New Testament, as we commonly call it, there's a fascinating phrase. And we'll get into the details of why we're talking about this subject and why we believe it's so important. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, in the concordant literal New Testament, we read this. And the adversary said to him, he's speaking to the Lord Jesus, to you shall I be giving all this authority and the glory of them, for it has been given up to me, and whomsoever I will be giving it. And it's interesting here how we see that God, first of all, is the supreme subjector, and he has committed to the authority of the nations over to Satan, and one day he's going to hand it back over to Christ. And why we're having this conversation, especially in the political season, last night I was watching these debates, and I was watching on Facebook, of all places, how people are arguing back and forth over these various candidates and so forth. And you and I, Martin, have talked in the past regarding our relationship to this world and to civil government. And as those of us who have an allotment among the celestials, we need to discuss what is our proper role in this era. And we see so many Christians who are so absorbed in politics. I, for one, was absorbed in politics. Thankfully, I think God gave me that experience only to realize the futility of trying to change the world through political means in this era. Any comments on that?
Yeah, it's one thing to be entertained by it. You know, I mean, I watch it and listen to it on occasion because it's interesting and it's entertaining. But many people go overboard and they lose their peace. And that's, you see that happening, especially during an election year, but people become stressed out and they wonder what's going to happen if Obama's reelected. Where's the country going to go? And other people say, well, Romney's no better. You know, but I tend to disagree. I think there are lesser evils. But you said something early on, so I guess it's a matter of how much does it absorb you. There's a point where you can be interested in it and you can even engage in it, but if it takes away your peace, you have to draw the line. I like that verse from Daniel you read, that God sets over this earth the lowliest of mortals. You often think, you look at these guys, and there's Romney, and there's Obama, and you think, is this really the best we have? You know, I'm convinced that there's a secretary somewhere in Milwaukee sitting at a day who could be a better president than any of these guys, any of these clowns, you know? I just hate what politics has become money. It's obscene how much money you have to raise to even run for president.
Right.
You have to be rich. And so it's a game of money, and you watch these television shows. You know, it's all about posturing. It's all about the soundbite. Who can get the best soundbite in? Are you kidding me? The best president of the United States is some woman sitting in an office somewhere in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who's eminently more qualified than any of these clowns. All right. I mean, there are lesser evils, but there's a verse from Daniel that says he sets over the earth the lowliest of mortals. And every election season, we get proof of that. And, you know, the overall picture is, and you've just shared this with me recently, it bowls you over every time. And it does the same with me. Every time we read, for instance, A. E. Knox's book, The Concordance Studies in the Book of Daniel, it's amazing that the purpose of government in this eon is to show the incapacity of humans to rule. We're not stunning God with our brilliance and our efficiency. No. It's not designed to do that. If it did do that, we wouldn't need God.
Now, I've shared with you in the past, Martin, you know my history in my love for history and in study of politics. And I'll tell you what I've learned from my experience. And the more I got involved in politics, and if you come to my house right now, you will see volume upon volume of the writing of the founding fathers, from John Adams to Thomas Jefferson and so forth.
Oh, I thought I was going to see a Sarah Palin poster.
Well, no Sarah Palin poster. I wish I had one, to be honest.
Okay, like Sarah Palin in a bikini.
Yeah, no, I wish.
That's nice.
But I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
The more involved I got in politics, I went from the attitude of conciliation to anger. And the more a Christian becomes involved in political things, I know from my experience, the more I started trying to force Old Testament law on people. And what that was is a perverted version of it. God has not, we're living in an era where it's, we've discussed this in the Zender Sheridan show in the past, the term the kingdom of the heavens. And what that means is the sovereignty of Israel over the nations. But we're in an era now where the nations are ruling and Israel is set aside. And so for Christians who try to govern now, they're forced into a situation where they're acting ahead of their time, as it were. And it takes us from a spirit of conciliation, like our message that we have through the Apostle Paul, to a message of anger and actually hatred. And I found out, if you really examine this, that those who call themselves Christians, the more political they get, the more angry they get, the more hateful they get to other people. And it goes contrary to the message we have. And I remember reading a passage, and I'm reading from page 10 in A.E. Knox's commentary on Daniel. Listen to this statement. He says this: "It is of the utmost value, especially in times of stress and distress, to realize the purpose of the eons. Too many who think of the matter at all wonder why God allows conditions so opposed to his apparent will, and why he does not interfere to set things right. As a result, he appears to be either helpless or heartless, and all confidence in him vanishes. But when we see that all is in accord with his ultimate and carries out his intention, we are comforted and assured and view the course of human history in a new and glorious light. Moreover, the men of prominence who play the part assigned to them without realizing it themselves will be viewed with sympathy instead of being judged with harshness. And just to pause there for a minute, I would judge people with harshness. I would judge Obama with harshness or any other political leader who is doing crap. To us,
we're supposed to sympathize with Joe Biden? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, how about that? Let me just finish the statement. To us, they may appear monstrous or out of their minds, but let us remember that they are playing a part assigned them by another. Imagine it. Obama is playing a part assigned to him by another.
Yep. And God has put him in place for a purpose.
He has put him in place whether you like it or not. And this is the era of the nations. Israel is not sovereign over the nations right now. That's on hold. And our calling, our marching orders are found in Romans 13, where Paul tells us to be submissive to these authorities. And you and I talked about this in the past. In Romans 12, it says, be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Well, how do you do that? Well, let every soul be subject to the superior authorities, even if they're evil.
Christians in politics, I mean, that's an unholy alliance, but it does it does preempt a truth. I mean, there is a truth that religion and politics are going to come perfectly together in the thousand-year kingdom of Christ.
Yes.
You're going to have religion and politics. You're going to have a priest, and you're going to have a king. Priest's religion, king is politics. But I have a feeling that Jesus is going to do a lot better job than even Romney.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, but as you say, it's in the heart of Israel. And we don't know who the real Israel is today. That's a whole other topic. But it's in the heart of certain people to govern. Isn't that one of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 13? I think the King James calls it, steerage or something? Or governance, to steer the ship? There are some people in whose heart it is to be able to, get a file cabinet and an office and be able to tell other people what to do. It's in them. And so this is put in the heart of certain people. And I think that many of the talents we have today, I think God is going to use in the next life. And some people do have a bent for government. And we know Israel does. Mm-hmm. Everything Israel touches turns to gold, basically. I mean, we all know that the Jews have a great influence in the financial sector and in religion as well. But it's used for foul purposes today. But that's going to be transformed by God then, but not now. And so to dabble into this, you have to do the Ten Commandments too, because the law is going to go forth from Zion. The law will be an integral part of that kingdom. But as you said, Christians today want to bring the Ten Commandments into government now.
Yes.
And that's where things get screwed up, and that's where you get the religion and politics, and you get the condemnation. That's why the liberals hate the conservatives. That's a whole other topic.
It's a whole other topic. We are living in the era of the nations now, but the kingdom of the heavens is on hold. That's the sovereignty of Israel over the nations. And I think what we ought to do, Martin, next time is to talk about Romans 13. And I got an amazing statement here. You used to use the word radical on your Zender talks. This is a radical statement, and I'm going to make it now, and we'll pick it up next time. But it's this. You ready?
Go for it.
God isn't at variance with the governments of the world today.
That's
a radical statement. That's a loaded statement. We need to discuss this next time, because what we need to realize, and I brought this up, Biden and Paul Ryan debated the other night, and I was watching on Facebook people who believe the truth of Paul's evangel, and one of them supports the Democrats. One of them supports the Republicans. And I'm looking at these people losing their peace, getting angry, getting ticked off, because both of them thought their candidate was as good as gold. But we're going to realize something, that we need to stop looking for political saviors in this era, because we don't have them. God has designed governments to fail. And this, once you realize this, embrace this, it'll give you peace. And It'll help us as believers, members of the ecclesia, which is his body, to get along with one another and realize what really is our hope, our expectation in this present era.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we will be back with more of this before you know it. I'm Martin Zender.
I'm Dan Sheridan.
I was hoping you were. I didn't know if you had changed or something. Okay, good. All right. We'll see you next time.